It's awesome to be here. It's been great. Richard and Margaret are my pastors for the years I lived in Calgary, so great relationship. And actually, I think it's worth noting, it's really interesting for me because really in my journey since my 20s, I've been a part of four streams. And it just so happens there are people here in this small room from all four streams that I've walked out life with. Got Lucille and Via, and I just met Wayne, which is awesome, and he tells me he's the ACOP guy, and we got Lifelinks, which I grew up in. My dad is a pastor in Lifelinks, and we got some Third Dayers, which is my home church. So I'm like, wow, that's really weird. All four streams I've walked in are in this room. It's really neat. But today, just as we get going, we're going to be talking about prophetic intercession and why we need it. Auntie Diane gave me my title so prophetically and steered me on course. And but before we do that, I want to just take a minute. And can we just pray in the Spirit for a minute? Yeah. Just wait on the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Shahaba siteko. Kibaba siteko masiteke. Hoba sitebo bosotokoya. Praise you, Jesus. Ko baba shindere baba soteke. Ora baba baba shindere baba sinteko. Ko baba baba shindere debo sunde yakoke yahaya. Ho ye mahata taya koko. Te yo ho mahasiteko malahaha. Jesus. Ho barate baba shitere baba soto shitete. Shahara baba sitere baba shokora baba sitete. Lord God. Lord, we wait on you. God, we just thank you, God. I thank you for the energy in this room. I said to my wife in the last session, this was good energy for an afternoon sessions. You know, sometimes you're just like, oh, nodding off and just like, it's afternoon session and I'm right in the middle of it. This is when people get tired. But the energy is good, Lord. So we just thank you for your presence, God. God, we thank you for your presence and the rest in this room. God, we thank you for the restoration that's taking place in this room in hearts, minds, and callings. Lord, and I just pray, God, even now, God, just breathe on your word, breathe on your servant, Lord. God, we just sense your presence here and your anointing. God, in this gathering of pursuit, God, pursuing your presence, God, and that we'll all walk away with one or two or three nuggets of truth that will impact and shape us, will push us and stretch us. Lord, we thank you, God. Amen. Amen, amen. All right. So, when we talk about prophetic intercession, it's important to note that there are many forms of prayer. Right? And making your requests known. You know, my dad, he's one of those guys. He is such a faithful prayer. Like, when he gets to heaven, I'm sure it's just going to be like, you see his prayer journal, and it's going to be like, oh my goodness. But he's one of those guys, it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and it's like, Monday, I'm praying for David and government. And like, Tuesday, I'm praying for like, Kayla, his daughter, and you know, and it's just so laid out. He's just so faithful. And he just covers me. And that's a way to do it. That's not my way to do it. I wish, but we can't be everything, right? We can't carry every single aspect of prayer. My point is, I'm focusing on prophetic intercession today. There's a lot of different kinds of prayer, but this is one that we're going to focus on today. And I want to start off with just some foundations. What is prophetic intercession? And here's a definition of prophetic intercession by James Goll. And if you know who that is, actually, he had three big chunks, and I put them down into one. So I think I should be able to steal and say it's now my definition of prophetic intercession. But prophetic intercession is not as much praying to God as it is praying with God. We let go of our agendas, and we take the time to receive the desire that are the desires that are in God's heart. We wait before God in order to hear or receive God's burden. This can be as concern, warning, vision, promises, so much. And we pray about it in a divinely anointed utterance. Okay? I feel like I'm just going to read that through one more time because I know some of you are taking notes. Prophetic intercession is not as much praying to God as it is praying with God. We let go of our agendas. We take the time to receive the desires that are in God's heart. We wait before God in order to hear or receive God's burden. It can be concerns, visions, promises, you name it. And then we pray about it in a divinely anointed utterance. Okay? So even this past week, and I was praying into these meetings. And so that's a specific direction I'm taking. So that's a level of, God, I want to prophetically pray into these meetings. What do you want to speak to me? What do you want me to release in prayer about this meeting today? And the same way, that's good, but I'm bringing an agenda. Okay, so let me just walk you through this. So here I am just praying in the Holy Spirit. And for me, I'm a walker. When I pray, if I want to really get into prophetic intercession, I need at least this kind of a landing strip. Because I got to have my eyes for three quarters closed, and then I'm going to hit something soon. I got to have space to do it, to wind it up. And you know, I'd be praying into the conference, and this is just an example of prophetic intercession. You know, the Lord puts something else in my heart that's got nothing to do with this conference. He puts on some family members who are just struggling a little bit, and that puts me in a certain zone. And then all of a sudden, I start seeing a picture of a girl I know, not well, not in community with them at all. And the Lord starts talking to me about yoga. And the scary part of deception of when some people get into yoga and what it is at its foundation, some of the new spiritual, new age things. A lot of these people, it starts out yoga, and then maybe they're teaching yoga, and then it becomes an absolute snowball into addiction, and so much of it is sexualized. So here I am praying for these meetings. Also, I'm praying about yoga and all this stuff. And God shows me this person. I need to lift them up and pray grace over them because there's an actual sexual spirit coming through yoga that is attacking them. Within several hours, I go home and find out this person's had an affair. That's this week. They're in the middle of an affair. This is prophetic intercession. When you put yourself in a place of, God, I want to pray, but it's like Margaret was saying, but then you get a sense. There's a shift, and you have a thought in your mind about someone, and it's not a fleeting thought. You learn to say, okay, I need to go in that direction, and then you get confirmations like that. Another example, just in the past few weeks, we had a big New Year's Eve like prayer and prophecy type thing at our church, and I actually put together a prayer meeting for the prophetic and prayer meeting, right? And it was pretty wild because we're just praying for our nation, for Canada to move, and we're praying into Canada and for our churches and for Alberta just to hear what the word of the Lord is and release the word of the Lord. And you know, in the midst of all this, I have two nations on my heart. I can't get rid of it. The Lord puts two nations on my heart. One's China and one's Israel. So we just start to just take on the burden. It's a burden. Oh, I could feel it coming out of the ground. Stronghold attacking China and the church rising up and what was going on there. And, you know, I actually try and avoid the news on the phone as much as I can, but it's not that many weeks later this coronavirus is breaking out. And it's like God's using our prayers from a prophetic intercessory point to actually take on the burden of strongholds in other nations from where we are. This is a mobilization of prayer that it's to me in some forms, it's unbelievable on the lack of teaching. If you go to YouTube and try and look up a bunch on prophetic intercession and teaching in tongues, you can find some stuff, but specifically, you'll find more authors out there speaking against. And I'll explain some of that more as we go. So that's just some of the stuff in the past weeks, just to show you how some of that goes. But I want to lay a bit of a foundation from the scriptures. So I want to go to Romans 8:11. I'm just reading off my printed Bible today. So for some of you, because of the time, you might have to write down some of these and go back, because I'm there already. I'm not flipping, okay? But it says, Romans 8:11, "And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you." Yes. Only thing I want you to take away from this verse is the Spirit of God lives in you. We know this. We hear this. We hear it so often. But, you know, one of the things I'll say in my early walk with the Lord, I had this deep conviction. So to go back a little bit, I'm the pastor's kid that could. The little train that couldn't. I was the little train that couldn't. I couldn't handle the church. I couldn't handle a lot of things. There's a book out there about it called Who Am I, Drugs to Dreams. That's my book. It's out there. You can read some of my journey of God and the restoration of my life. But I'll tell you, when I came back to the Lord in my early 20s, I'll talk about that in a minute too. One of the things for me was, like, growing up in the church, we hear some of these things so often that it actually feels like, do we believe it? Like, I remember thinking that in my early 20s, like, trying to wrap my head around, does the Spirit of God live in me? Like, really, really, really? Does He actually live in me? Like, I don't get that. Like, why, if the Spirit of God lives in me, am I not touching everyone and everyone's healed? Like, the Creator of the universe is here? Do you ever just go that deep and be like, what? Doesn't make sense. And so I was, you know, my dad was a walking Bible. Dad, where does it say this in the Word? You know, just right away, oh, Romans 6. And he always knew everything. I always go to him. But I was in this season of my life where God was so faithful that if I sought out a matter, He would reveal the full revelation of it to me. Right? It says that God conceals matters. Right? But it's, someone, where's my dad when I need him? Who can finish this verse? But it's the glory of kings to conceal a matter, right? Something. Where's Keith and his bowl of popcorn? So, actually, true story, I remember going to my first big Christian thing, and we had to go around and say our favorite Bible verse, and I still remember they laughed at me because I said, "Don't know where it is, but the wages of sin is death, but the truth will set you free." I used to blend all the verses together however they fit for me, you know? So it's all good. Still doing it sometimes. But I'm coming out. By now, Keith has kind of reached out to me, and there was this big conference called Under the Radar, I believe, in Lethbridge, and it was like all these prophets coming from all over the world in a room about this big, and I was like little me, like, what the heck am I getting invited to listening for? I felt really freaked out driving there with my buddy. But anyways, good conference. But this is months later, probably, from when I'm seeking the Lord about the Spirit of God living in me. And this revelation's so deep, so I tell it often, but it's like I'm driving. I don't know how many of you get visions when you're driving. I don't know if that's worse than texting and driving. But I'm driving. I've been in Lethbridge for the conference. Now I'm driving back to Estevan, and I'm driving, and all of a sudden I get this vision, and I see a ball of light, white light, and it's like pink electricity going all over the light. And I know in my spirit, this is my spirit, but this is also the Holy Spirit in harmony together, just this electricity together. And for about 20 minutes as I'm driving, I can physically feel the manifestation of God within myself, doing somersaults, like, whoa, whoa. Like, I can physically feel God in me. So I think to know that the Spirit of God lives in us is a powerful thing to stand on when we think of the prophetic and our connection to heaven. We're seated in heavenly places now because the Spirit of God lives in us. 1 Corinthians 4, I believe, because this didn't print right. Verses 10, "These are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. For who has known the mind of the Lord? As to who can instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. What a revelation. What a revelation. The Spirit of God lives in me, and the Spirit of God rests through all eternity. And I have access, a translating system from here to here that work together with emotion, with senses, with pictures and visions and words and hearing. And you learn to just become natural and trust and not be fearful. But this is a foundation to prophetic. This is a foundation to prophetic intercession. And on my own journey for prophetic intersections, right, Raymond? Thank you. It started out of brokenness. I believe, Karen talked about you learned how to pray when your son was at his deep point. You learned how to pray. This is where I learned how to pray. When I came to the Lord in my early 20s, I grew up in a Christian home, Lifelings Church. Love my family. Don't have time to tell my whole journey, but I'll just tell you this much. Thank God when I was 13 years old, Melfort, Saskatchewan, youth retreat, Lifelinks, I got smashed by the Holy Spirit to a point that I was singing in tongues. I was just singing the Spirit, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit, and I had never, no one was teaching on it. I don't remember an altar call for it. All of a sudden, I think probably 10 minutes into it, I realized what I was doing. And I just remember that night walking out and looking into the starry northern Saskatchewan sky singing, "He did all this, it's all real." I went back to being a butthead on Monday in Estevan. But that was the glue for when I hit my 20s, okay? So everyone's got their own story. But I got involved in drugs and just everything, like young age, like 13 up, till I was doing all the hard stuff and just anything you can imagine I was doing. And in my early 20s, I just had a first friend that died, and a second friend that died, and a third friend that died, and it just went like this. And so for me, my big turning point was I knew God was real. I'd abandoned my family emotionally, mostly physically, early teen years, and my family were my friends. And really the turning point for me was I can't say I love my friends if I continue this lifestyle. How can I? I know God's real. I know God's real. So if I don't change my life, I'm saying it's okay. Their destiny, whatever, it's okay. So because of love for my friendships and at some level, an unhealthy level of condemnation, I turned to God. But where does this come into intercession was when I turned to God, it was in a radical time. My dad took me. I was like almost overdosed on ecstasy 2 days before we left to the Philippines. And my dad took me, and I was just, you know, with Jeff Pacina, you Lifelinksers know them. And I was looking for a way out, but I didn't know how. I don't have time to tell my testimony. I rabbit trail a lot. So I'm going to tell you, read the book if you want to read the book. There you go. There's my plug. So anyway, turn to the Lord. And I experienced God in a big way in the Philippines. But now I'm coming back and I'm trying to find my way. And I'm going to church. And I'm just like trying to do it. I'm just trying to do it. And it's not working. Month on drugs, month off drugs. Month on drugs, month off drugs. And I'm sincerely trying. And this point comes, okay, I just got to move. I got to leave everything. Move out to Calgary. I end up joining something called Life Force, which was like a YWAM type of thing. And I just remember going to all these different places and going to all these different programs and thinking, God, where are you? Because I'm reading my Bible now. I'm reading the book of Acts. I don't see this stuff. As a pastor's kid and as any kid, there's a certain danger of hearing 10,000 sermons on healing and seeing maybe one or two and maybe maybe it happened. I mean, the one that I believe actually was in another country by someone else. But I don't know if I've seen one in my own church, really. But I've heard 10,000 stories about it. I couldn't do it. I couldn't leave my friends, the people I loved, my family, for what I saw in the church wasn't enough. So I get on my face and I say, God, you gotta show me you're real. And I would cry and I would punch pillows. And then I remember the one time we're doing an event, everyone had to go out and do something, you know, go paint a fence for an old lady or go do something. And I just walked out so angry. I didn't want to do dances and dramas. I was still scarred from that, from growing in the Christian school. I don't want to do a dance, okay? I'm 20. This has to be optional. Okay? God bless Ray Lynn and continual surrender, but I ain't going on it. So I would cry to God, God, this isn't it. I can't change for this. And then I'd walk out the door and go downtown Calgary, and I would see people screaming signs that, like, this one guy, freedom street, and he's demon-possessed, and he comes, like, foaming at the mouth for me, and I'm able to cast a demon out of him and then talk to him and buy him coffee and find out his whole history. I'm just like, whoa, whoa, what happened there? Something happened there. Whoa. Holy Spirit showed up. I just began to take on my own burden, but to press into a place in the heavenlies that unlocked things, because I wasn't okay with what I knew. It wasn't good enough. For Jesus, yes, I'll give it up, but it didn't make sense in another way. So I began to see a fruit in this process of prayer. Of saying, well, if I'm unsatisfied the way I see things, I learned that there was a place I could go into in prayer and open things up in the heavens that would come onto the earth. I want to share a point here, how prophetic intercession affects evangelism. Wow. I'm in Zimbabwe, and Life Force went to a few different countries. In Africa, same thing. I'd hit this frustration point. Like, I could only be a demon going around Jesus to the Carmen whatever champion video so many times, okay? I'm just getting Christian school scarred all over again. And I'd go back and be like, God, you brought me across the world, and this is good, and we're preaching the gospel, but I would hit this point again, and sometimes a burden would rise up, and that actual burden came from, I missed my friends so much. I had to abandon them. I missed them so much, so something had to be more worth it to me. And I remember I told you, I get airstrip. I went into this church that was in the backyard, and I just began to just, Koraba Shandereboso, because there's no language in my English language to let out my pain. So Yarabayo, Shakarabayo. And I would let it out. All the deep stuff in me. And I remember at that time, we're going and we're doing door-to-door ministry. And I was getting really tired of that too. I had a bad attitude, okay? I was in my early 20s. I feel so sorry for my leaders. God bless them. God bless them. They got treasures in heaven that are like... But I'll tell you something. I remember we did the door-to-door, nothing happened. And it's like you hear the 12 o'clock goes off on the beep on the watch, you're done, it's lunch. Okay, awesome. Get to go and lay down on the floor in the bedroom for 4 hours because I don't want to be around the team because I was really ignorant. And just as I'm walking back, all of a sudden I just feel the Holy Spirit just go, whoop, and I'm like, pull me aside. You see that lady under the tree? Go talk to her. And I'm like, ooh, it's 12 o'clock. I clocked out. I mean, that was good that you're answering something, but like, it's lunchtime. And I'm just like, okay, no, okay, go. And me and my interpreter and one other person on our team start talking to this girl. And I don't know what's happening. Just these people start assembling under the tree from the streets. So now I just start to share the gospel and share my testimony. And there's people crying, like There's one guy is bawling. And I do a, like an altar call and people receive Jesus on the side of the street. And it's real and it's legit. And but there's this one guy at the end, he's weeping. And my interpreter asked him, like, what's going on? He's like, this morning I had a dream. And Jesus came to me in my dream and said, you need to come find me. I was riding my bicycle around and I didn't know what I was doing or where I was going. And even in that, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, he spoke really clear to me to this. He said, your prayers, they unlocked that for him, but actually, your prayers had happened. His dreams happened after your prayers. I'm outside of time. Those dreams were in the night. Our prayers work from a place outside of time even. But prophetic intercession, if you can go to the deep places, can unlock eternity for people. But it takes some holy unsatisfaction. Another point here on prophetic intercession. Check my timer here. There we go. We're doing good. All right. Prophetic intercession affects gatherings, the glory. It affects the glory. You call out things. And I want to share a story where I began to have a revelation of this, which was actually sent out of Harvest City here in Calgary with some of my crew that's here, Mr. Corey Stickle and Clayton, if he's still here. But yeah, we all went out to Romania, and there was a team of us that went out that Keith sent us out. And luckily for Corey, my edges had been filed a little bit smoother at that point. I think I was a few years into it at that point. I don't know what Corey thinks about that. But when I got there, before we got there, actually, Keith told Corey, you need to have a pep talk with Dave to just get him ready for this girl named Mia Norton. Who's heard of Wild Bill Norton? Okay. So Mia is his daughter-in-law, thank you. But even though they don't have the same blood in their veins, I don't think the apple fell far from the tree. Like, I haven't met with Wild Bill, but I've heard lots about him. But anyway, he said, you need to know when you're going there, like, you're a part of the prayer and intercessory team, but it's kind of militant, the way she treats it. Like, I just want to prep you for it. Like, it's no joke. And I was like, okay. Like, I didn't know what to think about that. But get there, and I find out it's like this. It's like, we are praying for 5 hours a day. It's this hour, this hour, this hour. And we will not pray at any point together until we've spoken in tongues individually for half an hour before we pray together corporately. And I remember the one time I was late, I slept in, and she gave it to me. This is serious business. She literally gave it to me for being late. And I'm like, well, it's 5 hours, you know, like, give me a break. Just 10 minutes late. But let me tell you something. What I experienced in like that week of intercession of pressing in, because let me tell you another thing about prophetic intercession. There's a certain level of this that it's caught and not taught. Those of you who know what I'm talking about need to be discipling someone under you, need to be pulling someone into that sphere with you. And because it's an art that not everyone knows how to do. Anyway, Mia did. and as we prayed, we were in Romania, it was a young adults camp, and the high majority of the young adults were not saved. I'm just going to tell you really fast. As we'd be praying, and I know this wasn't always normal for them too, but as we prayed for those hours, we saw incredible signs and wonders. What we would experience together In our prayer, we would experience certain things in the meetings. But it was incredible. I mean, for me, this is what opened up signs and wonders. We would see literal tornadoes in the middle of our circle of gold dust. Not a little bit on the palms, a tornado. This one time we're praying for salvations, and the team, they had an understanding of prayer where the actual counselors who were overseeing the camps would come and say, like, listen, Johnny, I know his issue's pride. Pray against the spirit of pride. I know his insecurity, and they would actually take these things on and pray for him. This one time, my favorite sign and wonder was so incredible. I remember as we were in prayer and just like, I mean, there was times you're tired, but then there was times like, oh, glory break out. And I remember seeing this vision of a fruit, not a fruit I knew from heaven or from earth, but from heaven. And I remember seeing it crack in half. And all of a sudden, the room gets filled with a fragrance like you've never smelt in your life. And some people are like, it's the rose of heaven. But I knew it was a fruit because I saw it. It was not a rose, it was a fruit. But let me tell you something. Signs and wonders don't make any sense in this cosmic destination. We were in the circle and I could smell it and it was just heaven. It was bliss. If I took 3 steps outside of the circle right here, nothing. If I came back here, wow. Wow. On the very last night of the meeting, just like in 2 Chronicles, the glory cloud of God ascended in the room. And actually, this is probably one of the first times I've talked about this from a pulpit since then, because God did such a work in my heart that I'm not going there. It's just the brokenness of Him teaching me about His glory. It's all for His glory. And that nothing is a stepping stool to our being lifted up or promoted or anything. I got broken out of that trip. But I'll tell you, in the midst of this intercession and all these things, every single person in that young adults camp was saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. All of them. All of them. In the midst of the glory cloud. See, I could see it on my camera. I could see it perfectly, and I knew what it was because when Keith asked me to go to Romania with him on a trip prior to that, was the same day he was showing a video clip of him in China on the glory cloud. So when I saw that video, I knew, and then saw what was going on my camera, I knew what was going on. But there was 3 people in the room that could see it the whole time. They thought they were going blind. They were 3 that got radically filled with the Holy Spirit and saved that night. And tons of healings, broken arms, cracked teeth. Everyone who stood in this cloud was healed physically. But I know that it was prophetic intercession that opened that up. If that didn't happen, I mean, we know it. 1 + 1 = 2. They had an understanding, and I do realize they wouldn't get this breakthrough every time they pray 5 hours. It was a sovereign act of God. But nonetheless, you take that revelation and you take that and you go forward with it. But those are the type of people you got to get around because it's caught. You catch something in your spirit. You can't just hear me talk about that. You need to hear about an intercessor. Because there's a lot of intercessors that we don't like to always be in big group prayer. It can feel like a waste of time. And it's not. You're making requests before God, but sometimes when you get to prayer meetings, you know, we go down our list and we lift up the things that need to be lifted up, but the time of space for God to speak isn't big enough. Prophetic intercession ministers from the place of the unknown, the mystery. This is a revelation. See, this is where I'm going to hit this point in a minute, and this is the one where there can be a lot of controversy for, but I'm going to come in boldly here. I was studying this scripture, Romans 8:26-27. It says, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Did you hear that? I'm going to read it again. Likewise, the Spirit, up here, down here, He helps us in our weakness. It's a prayer of humility. Paul, he's saying, we don't know how to pray. For we do not know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. I was meditating on this, and I'm like, what is this groanings? Like, I could just be like, why haven't I heard about this verse before? I hadn't really heard about this verse. And this is after Romania, shortly after Romania. And I had been asked to teach at a YWAM on like prayer. And I'm stuck on this verse, and I want to say this is speaking in tongues. But it doesn't say that. I wanted to. And I almost felt like the leaning of the Holy Spirit to that, but it doesn't say that. God, but He was so strong on it. Like, I was just like wowed on this verse. What does this mean? I know Jesus intercedes for us day and night, but the Holy Spirit intercedes at a level of groaning. Groaning. And this is the verse. If you try and look it up on YouTube, good luck. If you want a good explanation, because the only thing you're going to find is what it's not. It's kind of interesting because I was just researching that. So I'm sharing this with my friend I'm living with at the time, and he's one of my prayer buddies. Years ago, we spent those years together in Africa, and I'm just praying, and I say, can we just have a time of prayer together? See, I cut my teeth on prayer. This is where I encountered God. Remember praying in Margaret and Richard's basement with Chris and encountering God and all these different people. But I'm going to tell you a story. I started to pray. See, for me, speaking in tongues is so natural. It's incredibly natural. I will say what I need to say to God from my mind. But my way I communicate and express myself from my spiritual language is so much more natural, because my emotions can't always connect a language that's appropriate for what I have to say to Him. For even just the fact that my spirit is such a feeler, it's not totally intellect. The communication isn't on an intellectual level. It's on a feeling level. I mean, sure, there's intellect because it's connected because we have the mind of Christ. But there is a feeling level of communication that isn't appropriate for the English language. So I'm praying. Just the two of us. Shakataba site koroto. Oh! Start feeling a groan. I've been studying this verse. All of a sudden, this comes out of me. Taipei! 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 Whoa, this is a groan. This is like I'm giving contractions here. And I look at my friend. This has never happened before. And I say to him, Taipei, I think that's a place, yeah? It's like, yeah, like, look it up, like China or something. Yeah. God, we just pray for Taipei. See, now He's put it in my spirit. I'm bringing it to my mouth. God, I pray for Taipei. Lord, I pray for all the missionaries in Taipei. God, we pray for the church in Taipei. We spent some time praying for Taipei. Didn't know anything about Taipei. I literally had to Google it up to see where it was. And at this time, I'm going to Harvest City 2. Earth Harvest City, Harvest Fellowship. And I just started talking to Keith like a little bit, not much, and not traveling yet, but I get this email. Oh, by the way, I go teach the class and I'm faithful. Because I felt the Lord told me, and I wasn't probably totally perfect theology, about the connection with tongues in that verse, because that happened in some of my days of preparation. And I thought, because He did that, I have to speak what He's shown me. And so I spoke it out. After the fact, a week later, I get an email from Keith Hazel. He's never emailed me before. I don't know where he got my email. The very first line of the email says, Dave, I felt I needed to reach out to you. I just had a great week in Taipei. People were getting saved in the taxi cabs. People were getting saved in the restaurants. We had a Holy Spirit meeting breakout in the restaurant. Taipei! Come on, do you hear this? There is a place in prophetic intercession that we can connect to the will of God. Jesus said, ask anything in my name and it'll be done. Guess what? According to the will of God. There's a place in our prayer life that we can have our prayers answered every time because it's His request. So exciting. Hearing from God and then praying, I would say, is more being a prophetic person who prays. It's an aspect of prophetic intercession. But hearing from God and praying, I would say, is more about being a prophetic person who prays. Okay, in general, this is just me. I'm going to stretch us here. I don't think it's possible to be a prophetic intercessor, at least at the full place, if you don't pray in tongues. But you can also pray in tongues and not pray in the Spirit. Did you know that? Have you ever been in a service where tongues is so enforced, and it's like, wow, you're actually not praying in the Spirit. It actually sounds like just like white noise on the radio cranked, because it's actually religious and legalistic what's going on here. You can pray. And this is where I said generally, okay, because I'm one of those guys, I don't like saying, boom, black and white, this is it. Exception to the rule often comes in. So I'm saying there's a somewhere in the world, there's a pack of some people who are prophetic intercessors who do not speak in tongues. You hear me? Yeah. But I'm saying it's not the thing. That's a, generally speaking, I believe at its truest form, most powerful form, you need to speak in tongues. I'm going to unpack that for a minute. Praise God, huh? So we can pray in tongues and not pray in the Spirit. But let me tell you something. When you pray in the Spirit, when you build up your spirit, like Paul said, he did it more than anybody to edify and to build it up. You begin to release every spiritual gift. I often say that the gift of tongues is like marijuana. It's the gateway gift. just chasing out all the religious spirits. Come on. It's legal now, that's right. Oh, thank you, Lord. Just getting to the end here. I want to talk about who here wants to move mountains? Like, really, speak to this mountain and we'll be tossed into the sea. I'm gonna say a few words here. I want you to catch these words if you catch anything. Abandonment, surrender, humility, being undignified. The most powerful and untalked about level of prophetic intercession is when you pray the burden of the heart of God without having to even know what it is. You learn to trust the sense of the Spirit, the emotion of the Spirit, as you take on the burden of the Spirit. You always know when the burden lifts and finishes. Sometimes I feel like I'm rallying up. This is my prayer time in the church that I'm part of the pastoral team in. And I start to just get ready to go. I got this hour. And I'll get into it. And then, you know, I'll pray some of the things that are on my heart. I'm praying for my family. I'm praying for these things till God takes over. And sometimes I'm just like, whoa, what comes out of me? I'm talking about abandonment. Like, I don't want nobody else in the room. It's ugly. I'm serious. What I look like in that point of prayer, taking on the burden of God, it's not nice to look at. My wife laughs at me. She does. Am I lying? She thinks it's funny. My face contorts. My body bends. At some point, when I get into the burden of God, I look paraplegic. Like, what if that's the right word? But I'm not saying that's bad. Chase that away. Anyway, God, I'm going to get angry email. Send it to Pastor Richard. But for real, there is a place. There's only a few people I've been able to pray with in my life really pray. Like a small handful, because you know you can go there with them and not feel judged or like you're tearing apart the distract in the room. Who knows what I'm talking about? We live in one of the greatest days the earth has seen, the days we're moving into. Do you know that? There was a time in my life where I lost intercession for 3 years. Don't have time for that story. I came under a spirit and I lost my intercession for 3 years. And all of a sudden, God took me in a vision and I saw a wall of ice. And in each ice block, I saw something deposited that I was supposed to have unlocked. It was still there. It was frozen up. We have the capability. See, when I'm saying this burden of God, you know about 90% of the time he doesn't tell me what it was? I mean, that time I prayed for Taipei, but 90% of the time I feel the burden and I feel when it's broken. I have no idea what person in what country. I have no idea. And that depends on if I'm praying specifically for a place. But I never feel so close to God in my life. In outside of that place, there's a place I enter into there. The clarity of my mind makes me aware of how much demonic interference there is everywhere we go. When you break into that place, you're like, whoa, I've never felt so clear. What if God needs our prayers to be more powerful? What if he needs us to be more powerful? I was thinking about God, where's the biblical illustration of prophetic intercession in the Bible? Because I want to teach out of this, you know? And honestly, I'm sure there are some great ones, but you know what the Lord said to me? Holy Spirit, this week, this is in my pace walking, and I got my journal there so I could just write something down as I go, if he gives me something. This is what he said to me. The early church prayed. They got together daily for food, prayer, and fellowship. Do you ever wonder what it would be like to be at a prayer meeting with the people who actually walked life out with Jesus? Can you imagine? How did they talk to him in prayer? You know, it's funny because my wife, in our first year of marriage, she'd be like, Dave, we need to pray before bed. And I'd be like, what are you talking about? Bed's for sleeping. See, I was just so, like, I'm not going to get woken up. She's just like, what's wrong with you? You can't talk to God before bed. Anyway, that's a total rabbit trail. But we have a lot of different languages, ways to pray. And I had to learn because I was still growing in friendship with God to be like, yeah, that's okay. Good night, Lord. Bless the kids. Pray the blood of Jesus over our house. Da 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 da. Sorry. Ephesians, I'm going to close here in a sec. See how we're doing? Oh, right on the money. Ephesians 6:18, pray in the Spirit at all times. Oh, I just realized I didn't finish my story, that what Jesus told me in the prayer, did I? Okay, I'll read the verse and then we'll go there. Ephesians 6:18, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Pray in the Spirit at all times. On every occasion, be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Do you know every believer everywhere? No. How can you pray for every believer everywhere? Did Paul know every believer everywhere? No, he didn't. There's a place of humility. There's a place of under a maturity. I don't want to get to heaven and find out that 90% of my prayers were requested. 95% of my prayers were requested. And 90% wasn't answered because the answer was in the not answering the prayer. Did you catch that? I don't want to make 95% of my prayers request to God, praying for family members, provision, all these different things. I don't want that to be 95%. Get to heaven and see that 90% of my prayers were not answered. And some of the answer in a not answered prayer is that it wasn't answered. I know that's a riddle, but are you hearing me? I want to go to heaven and know that a lot of my prayer has been answered because I'm partnering with God. I'm praying the will of God. I was an effective prayer. Churches need to be effective in prophetic intercession. Individuals need to be effective in prophetic intercession. And I'm going to tell you something. Oh, yeah, I'm going to go back last point that I didn't get. God said to me, Holy Spirit said to me, do you think Saul would have had a conversion to Paul if the church wasn't praying? Somebody was praying. And they were learning from the teacher, the disciples, from the Messiah, the very thing, what to do. Bless those who persecute you. I bet you there was a lot of focused prayer for Saul. What about Philip? Would have Philip been translated in the spirit to the Ethiopian if there wasn't prayer? Was it just so sovereign, or did God say that we are co-laborers in the kingdom of God? I'm telling you right now, we're walking into revival. That word can mean a lot of different things for a lot of different people, and I don't care. We're walking into revival. And I believe that there's a certain attitude right now that if you don't have an openness and a childlike faith to how he does it, who he does it through, you're going to miss something big. But what I'm saying is, right, if we're heading into revival and if there's a billion soul harvest, guess what's going to release it? Intercessors, prayer, prophetic worship, Taipei, Saul persecution, Ethiopian on the road, prodigal sons, Kanye West. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Guys, let's just put our heads down. Shakabasite. Will you be abandoned? Will you be in a posture of humility to take on the burden of the Holy Spirit because it's not pretty? Will you travail in front of a crowd or will you push it down? Will you want to keep the meeting the way it was set? Or will we let it go on like this? I'm the last speaker of the afternoon. Whew. Whew. Shaka-ba-ba-ba-si-te-te. Shaka-ba-ba-ba-si-te-ko-ya-ka-ka. Shaka-ba-ba-ba-si-te-te. Bo-ra-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. It's from this language. Ko-ra-ba-ba. The language of the heavens, of the Spirit. This welcomes the groan of the Holy Spirit. This is His language. It's the language of my spirit. As I build up, as I edify, as I stir the living Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit that lives in me, the hope of the nations. Lord, I just pray, God, you just release fresh fire on every person here. Fresh fire, fresh oil, fresh commission. A couple weeks ago, I prophesied at our prayer meeting. I believe it was Psalm 126. I tried to quote it last night. But those who have wept in tears in their prayer are going to turn into songs of joy and dancing. They're going to bring in big harvest in their arms. So let me tell you something also, last thing, all you faithful intercessors that are in here, get ready to see your prayers answered faster than you ever have. We're praying for this thing today and it happened tomorrow. That's the word of the Lord. Those of you who have sowed faithfully in tears are about to turn your song into joy in prayer. Someone's got to come close this because I don't know how. Thank you, Jesus.